let us begin this service by singing 426, stanzas 7 and 10. 426. What shall I render to Jehovah now for all the riches of his consolation? With joy I'll take the cup of his salvation and call upon his name with thankful vow. Number 426, stanzas 7 and 10. We shall now read to you from God's holy word, Psalm 147, the first reading of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praises comely. The Lord has built up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains, he giveth to the beast of his foot. And to the young ravens which cry, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse, He takes not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates, he has blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, his word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool, he scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his eyes like morsels who can stand before his cold. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgment unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in the way of thy providence that we have, notwithstanding the weather, what the reason is that so many people that can come in this evening, but we have not still the privilege to have another chance to hear thy word, an eternal testimony. We are dependent in everything upon thee, from the weather, from the influence of thy spirit in our heart, from everything. Also, the opening of thy word and testimony. We cannot make it self, and we cannot give ourselves anything. It all has to come from above. Lord, we are not worthy the least of thy blessings. We have forfeited everything. But for you us also in this evening, in thy beloved Son, in whom thy well pleased, that our gathering may be in the fear of thy name and in thy divine favor, that we experience also in this evening thy presence amongst us, and especially in our hearts. Lord, that each and every one, privileged by the work of the Holy Spirit, to come to themselves in this evening, 'tis also possible for us, as with those members of our church, that it is for the last Sabbath day, and that in this coming week, that the time shall be there that we have to depart out of this world and to have appeared before thee the Most High, and for that great judge, that we examine ourselves, Lord, before thee, and that it may please thee to work in our heart with thy precious spirit, and that we receive that grace that never shall be taken away, but that remains and abides with us for time and eternity. Lord, open to the purpose thy word in this evening. Strengthen everywhere thy servants where they are called, to proclaim that everlasting gospel, and give also us in this evening freedom and liberty and understanding, and a blessing for our own soul, as thou hast promised in thy precious word, that those who are labored in the vineyard, that they shall eat the fruit thereof. Lord, that we receive the light of thy countenance in our heart and under the preaching and hearing of thy word, and that it for many people was to true conversion and for thy children to establish them in their most holy faith. What has taken place in this morning hour, it is well known to thee, the living God. O Lord, that people that was in truth and uprightness amongst us, sitting around about that table, give thy divine approval in their hearts. And those that were not invited by thee, but that came in their own strength, O make them ashamed in this evening. And also uncover all the false foundation of the soul, and that they never will stand before thee with a lie in the right hand, but before that it is too late forever, uncover them if it can be in thy counsel. And those that could not come and gather with us, and those that were sitting here and met so much struggles and strife inwardly, O Lord, loose their bands in this evening, that outgoing of this day for thy people and for thy children, that it was to the gladness of their heart and to the honor and glory of thy name. Remember in mercy and in compassion each and every one as in our children. Sick and afflicted widows and orphans, we commend them at thy throne. With our boys, where that they are studying or where that they are be, look down upon them also, the country and the president in these serious times. Bring us back to thy word and testimony, and look down upon us with the forgiveness and pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 402. Stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Your offering will now be taken. Number 402. No human power delights him, no earthly pomp or pride. He loves the meek who fear him and in his love confined. Then praise thy God, O Zion. His grace he is aid, confess. He gave thee peace and plenty, his gift thy children bless. Number 402, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. the words of my text for this evening, you will find them in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 35. These words, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And thus far, I will talk to you this evening a while about the manifestation of Christ in the breaking of bread. In the first place, it was a great surprise. In the second place, it was something where they were looking for. And in the third place, it was to the rejoicing of their heart. Or what it happens beforehand, what took place immediately, and what had followed. This morning, we have again in our midst, beloved congregation, the commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That happens time and again in the church because it is an institution of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church is called to have a reverence for that, to accept that, and to bow under it. It is a blessing that we have in that respect a command of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Otherwise, then there was never an opportunity to do it. In a church, it is the same as in a family. There happened time and again something. A congregation, the members of them, they never can consider it. But those that members of the consistory that realize when they come in and they stay there for a while, what there comes up time and again, what an hindrances that are laying in the way, that always we must say, how shall we dissolve this, and how shall we bring that to a solution? There are so many problems and so much riddles. And of course that is because the members of the church, and that is not only with those members, but that is with the minister, and that is with the consistory, they are all men. In that respect, we have not to place ourselves above other men. We have to realize that we are weak and sinful, and fall with faults, all of us. But that is not the only thing that is outwardly. But now inwardly, with God's people, it is really seldom in their life that there is nothing in between. That happens, that the Lord is so good for his people, that for some time that everything is subdued under his almighty power, and that there is really in their heart a desire to have in the midst of the congregation the breaking of the bread. But in general, then there is so much in the way. And also those times that are always times that the devil so close is with God's people. And there are so many things, even outside of that, that makes us downhearted. This here always, the church militant. You cannot expect that it is here in the church perfect. I have heard once of an old minister who served the table once in his congregation, and then he had his eyes on a certain person in that church whom he thought that he had a divine right to come there. But of course that man or that woman that was so many time in darkness, and that woman had so much strife inwardly, that it was so hard for him or for her to approach the table. And then one time, finally that man or that woman came, and then that minister was so glad that he said, if you had not come here now this morning, I was ready to come with that bread and with the wine to your bench. If it is so, then it is not so bad. However, we are never knows the heart of men. That is only the Lord. And we have to be careful. There can be something that for us that it is hardly to see it. There is other people that have a great profession of the truth, and still many times at the end of their life, then it is revealed that they were strangers of the work of the Lord. Really? And it is necessary, people, that our ways are founded on the Word of God. And in blessings, when the Lord through his word and testimony, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, that the Lord gives us at his appointed time solution for our own heart, and that the Lord may use to that purpose also the commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an example in our text, and a text, as I have told you, that speaks us about the manifestation of Christ in the breaking of bread. And that was for those two men of Emmaus. That was a great surprise. A great surprise when we consider the condition in which they were. Both of them, they were disciples of Christ. There was no doubt about that point. True disciples of Christ. The true work of the Lord was in their heart. And where can we know that the true work of the Lord is in our heart? That we have received back what the Lord has given us in paradise. I will explain it for you so easy this evening, so simple, that you have no trouble to understand it. When the Lord converts a sinner, then he receives back what we had in possession in paradise, and that is love to God and love to our neighbor. That are the two things. And we will show that in our life. We have all a proud heart and an evil heart. And the seed of every evil that is in us, that is with each and every one in this world. No exception at all in that respect. But nevertheless, what I will say that is this. It is so necessary that there are moments in our life that we show that the true work of the Lord is glorified in our heart. And that we can realize that it is now different than that it is at other times. That are the characteristics of those that followed Christ. So it was with the two men of Emmaus. They were in Jerusalem at the time that Christ died and that he was crucified and that he was buried. They stayed for a little while there in Jerusalem, but finally they went home. And why? Because their hope and their expectation upon Christ, that was gone. They always have hoped that the manifestation or appearance of Christ would be different as that it was now. When Christ entered into Jerusalem and that Sunday that they called Palm Sunday, then those two men of Emmaus, they were also glad that day. The majority was glad, but the people that was also glad because they thought, now it goes with Christ in the right direction. And now we shall see him soon as the King of the Jews, and he will deliver us from the power and jurisdiction of that Roman Emperor, and we come back to our former glory and majesty. That was also in the heart of those two men of Emmaus. That was even in the heart of the apostles, because they were also looking for an earthly kingdom. The darkness in their heart and life was so great. Oh, I will say that this evening, why? To give God's people that is in darkness a little comfort out of the life of that two men of Emmaus. Because if the true work of the Lord is in our heart, people, then we come time and again for ourselves in trouble. If we come never in trouble with ourselves, then we must well be strangers of the true work of the Lord. If we never come in trouble with ourselves, there are time and again such problems coming up in our life that we are in doubt and that we placed ourselves outside and that we say, it cannot be that I belong to the people because I believe that in the heart and life of God's people that it is different as that it is with me. I am standing every time as before a wall and I don't know the way. But that was with the two men of Emmaus, that was the same thing. Exercising of faith was not there. They have no consideration also about what was revealed by Moses and the prophets. And they have heard that from the early days about the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but no thoughts about. And finally, they have heard something in the day of resurrection about the resurrection of Christ and that he arose from the dead, but they could not believe it. And it was not that the world had told that, but it was told them by God's people. Because those women, they were God-fearing women. The Lord has given grace in their heart, and still they could not believe it. No. Finally, they make the decision to go back to their own home. And then, while they were walking to their home, to Amos, they were talking together over all that had taken place. And of course, about all their experience, what they have heard and what they have experienced in the three years that they have lived with Christ. And then time and again, they were saying to one another, what have we to think about? Must we now throw that all in the sea? Must we now say that was all wrong? But of course, and that is again a true mark of the work of the Lord, God's people. And if you belong to the people, then you never can help yourself out of all the troubles. The Lord has to do it. That was also by the two men of Emmaus. There is so many people that come to the Lord's table that help themselves. That is not bothered with troubles, no. They believe so easy that they are converted. They come never something in the way for them. And even when the word of God placed them outside, they go through. And notwithstanding all the warnings and all the admonitions, they go through in their own way. With God's people it is different. Those two men, they go back to Emmaus. But if you had asked them, when you now come home in that village, what shall you do now further? How can you live now further? And then they had said, oh, we don't know. It was dark from every side. But then, of course, the Lord, as the good shepherd, he is looking for those that are lost. And Christ appeared also to them while they were walking on that road.
He not did appear and manifest himself immediately, no. He placed himself with him, and then he was walking with him. And then, of course, he inquired and investigated because he was listening to them and he was looking to their faces. And he saw that they were so sad. He saw that they were so downhearted. And in the first time, they were not glad with that stranger that came there with them. No, they were not glad with his company. They rather have walked together home than that that third one came there with them. And then, of course, as soon as that third one, that he asked them, what the reasons were that they were talking about, what the reasons were that they were, that they looked so sad, or then even it was not so easy to answer that question. It made them a little upset, really. It disturbed them a little. And then they asked him, not so friendly, no, but they asked him whether that he was only a stranger there in Jerusalem. He would say, everybody, their mouth is filled with it. It is a talk from every day now. And where you must come from, that you don't know what that happens there. And then he helped himself that he was a totally stranger. And he showed to them that he was interested to hear what happens. And then he said, what things in there? What had happened in Jerusalem? And he knows everything. But of course, the Lord Jesus, he made it so with those two men that they have to open their mouths. They rather have not done it. But he came in such a manner to the two men that they have to do it. And then, of course, they start. And now they started to explain what they know. Christ, you know that all now, Christ is anointed by the Holy Spirit as prophet, as priest, and as king. But now those two men of Amos, they know Christ only as prophet. No more. No more. And he was prophesied as priest and as king in the old times. Oh yes, but we don't know more as that the Lord has revealed them to us. And they were not talking about things that never was revealed unto them. No. But they knew that he was a prophet, mighty in words and in deeds. And then they talked what they have done with the government, how that they finally have crucified him on Calvary. And then they say, now it is now 3 days that that have taken place. And we have heard the rumors, but oh, we go not into that. We cannot believe it. And there you see another thing, people. God's children, they need a personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot help me that other men would say you can go to the Lord's table. You have a right to know the Lord himself. He has to give that right in my heart. He has to give that opening and that privilege in my soul. Because I cannot explain to you hardly what a mountain it is for a man that lives under conviction to believe that salvation is for him. But the mouth,
There is people enough in our days that say, oh, that kind of people that expects a voice from heaven. And they have the Bible among them. And a Bible that explains so clear that there is grace by the Lord for the greatest of sinners. The people that is really stubborn. Stubborn. You can do nothing with that people. Nothing. You can talk with them the whole day. And for hours and for hours. And then still they say, I don't know. And then you do everything to convince them and to open the way to believe. But the Bible tells us that we cannot accept anything unless that it is given us from above. But now the Lord, he giveth us his appointed time in the heart of his people. One sooner and one later, but the Lord gave him that faith to believe at his time. In other words, there are moments that the Lord gave opening to the people. And then if you see that in the two men of Emmaus, in what a wonderful and lovely way that the Lord Jesus had treated with that, not with the people there. Wonderful. The Lord, he rebuked them that they were slow of understanding, because it was not to their honor that they were so dumb and that they were so ignorant. And unbelief and ignorance, that is also something that we brought with us out with the fall of Adam. That is nothing what the Lord has created in the heart of his people. No, but we brought ourselves in that condition. And then Christ, he opened the scriptures. And not only the scriptures, but what more than he opened the scriptures. He opened the scriptures and he opened the rest. Both things. And that is what we know, what is necessary for us. Because we can sit under the ministration of the Word of God. And we can say, what a wonderful sermon. We can say that. And we can have pleasure in it and delight in it. But now to open our eyes that it is the truth, and that we have comfort out of it for our soul. That is, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart and in our soul. And even under the explanation of the truths, those two men of Emmaus, they don't know Christ at that time. No. They have fell an insight in the truths, but no eye for Christ to see him. And he was walking there with him. You must say, how is it possible that ever can be? But of course, if the Lord not open our eyes for the glory of Christ, we cannot see him. It is, and I have to emphasize that for you, a personal matter. I will say it not strong. I will give you a little example. Very simple to understand for you. It can happen that we come in contact with a delivered soul. That we hear some people talking about that opening that they received by the Lord. And in the blood of Christ Jesus. But we can encourage for our heart when we are listening to their people. But when we shake hands and we left one another, Then again, my heart is empty. And I go to my bed and I say, Lord, I am the same person. The same person. And that the woman of that man that is happy, I am not happy. I am not happy. And it can be in that same night, people. We were sitting in that evening in the company of that man or that woman. And that we have so much courage for our own heart and soul. Really courage for our heart. But we come back and we lay in our bed, we cannot sleep. And then the devil comes and he says, you have heard now. But an opening that the Lord has given that man and that woman. What a freedom and what a liberty that the Lord has granted unto them. But he is an elected vessel, a chosen vessel of the Lord. He is a favored one, not you. And it shall never happen with you that the Lord bring you to solution. Soon, you are friends now with that man or that woman. But soon there will come an eternal separation. And then you shall see that man in glory. And self you shall sing in that deep abyss of eternal condemnation. Really, people, we can be encouraged when we hear about the ways of the Lord, but it can bring us in such a strife also for our own heart and soul. But that is now with God's people such a wonderful thing that was by the two men of Emmaus the same. Faith was not in exercising. Their hope was gone, but there was one thing left in their heart, and that one thing that was left, and that remains and that stays with them, that was the love to Christ. That was the love to Christ. And that is now something. Oh, if it was 10 years ago, people, if it was 20 years ago, if it was 30 years ago, that it was poured out in your heart, then it stays there. And there is no enemy, no devil in hell, and no power in the whole world that ever can take it away. That remains with us all the time. And what is the result of that love that the Lord has given in their heart? Looking to him who is the only one who can fulfill my needs and my wants. Looking up to him who is almighty, who is faithful, who is all sufficient to supply my needs also for my soul, as we sing of the last stanza of 87, our hope is on Jehovah's state. In him our hearts are joyful made, our help and shield is he. Our trust is in his holy name, thy mercy, Lord, in faith we claim, as we have hoped in thee. The last stanza of 87. Thank you. and a wonderful ways helped by the Lord with those two men of Emmaus, because those disciples first, they must to be brought down into the valley of humility, and then they will be led to the mountain of gladness. When they came close to that village, then they constrained him. It was impossible to go farther and to enter into that village without that stranger. They need that man, and they constrain him. They don't know, no, but they say, abide with us. Later on, later on, then they had said, wash our heart not burning in us. When he was speaking to us on the way. Oh, there was so a wonderful feeling there, inwardly in their heart. Really? Their heart burned within when he was talking with them by the way, and while he opened unto him them the scriptures. The Lord, oh yes, people, he tempts his children time and again. He tempts them in love. It was not his intention to leave him in that condition. No, he had appeared unto them to reveal himself unto them. That was his intention, but he tempted them. And he was as walking farther, but then they constrained him. Why, what means that now? Then the Lord Jesus, he gave him an opportunity to lay open what there was in their heart. And then, when they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent, then he went in to tarry with them. He go with them. And what must that well be for them? Oh, even when they still not know him, but there was such an excellency and a majesty that there was laying upon that stranger, upon that Christ, that when they came in their house, then they took a chair, humanly speaking now, and they sat down in their own house. We cannot understand that literally, but it is all spiritually here. Because if we now meet one person on the road or in some house, and we desire that that man stay with us, then when we come in our house, then the first thing that we will do with that man is to give him a chair and to say, now you can sit here. And I go to my kitchen and I make something ready for you that you have to eat or to drink something, and you make yourself convenient here in my house now. But it happens here different. That people himself that sits was sitting there, and Christ, he was standing there. And they give him everything in his hand. And then he took the bread and he broke before their eyes. And he gave it. And then, oh then, John, he said, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. And he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And I thought in this evening, I have first another sermon, but I thought I hope that I can say something of that text in this evening. Oh, that privilege that is our communion. Communion, people. That Christ is known unto us in the breaking of bread. And then he fenced away for them. Yes, he fenced out of the sight. But that was not so bad. They have seen. And then, oh, as soon, people, as they have seen him, all that power of unbelief, that was broken. That was broken. The darkness was gone. And there came such a freedom and a love in their hearts. Oh, wonderful. It was heaven upon earth, came on earth. Heaven came on earth. And then, oh, instead of all that grief and of all that sorrow, people, and it was deep, oh, it was so deep, in those 3 days in their heart, that they thought we never come over it. We never come over it. And such times are known in the life of God's children, too. Sometimes so downhearted, people, that we think, oh, what shall be the end? David, he said before that he became king, he said, one day I shall perish into the hand of Saul. Before that he became king. And my dear friends, I shall not make it so long this evening, but oh, it is possible that it for you and me, that it is the last Sabbath day, that we meet one another for the last time this evening. Oh, that we look to this place and look to your place when you leave this church. You cannot believe it, but it can be taken place in this week. And if we now have the same grace as the two men of Emmaus, then it is not so bad. No. Blessed are the dead that died in the Lord from henceforth. The dead that died in the Lord. Dead of this world of sin of the law. Not dead upon Christ. No. But that our only hope and our only expectation, that it is upon him and from him. And my dear friends, if we have that in our heart once, oh, I hope, even that there was one in this morning. And if it had not happened in this morning, but before that it is night now, before that it is night, that Christ was known in the breaking of bread. A personal revelation. And those eyes that have seen him once, they shall never look back, people. No. They shall never look back. Maybe there was some in this morning sitting here at the table and now in strife and in struggle. Oh, now maybe regret it is possible, but I tell you, if there no strife come upon it, then it is not the work of the Lord. Is there people in this morning that stay away, that have no freedom and no liberty? So many chains in which they were of the devil and of himself, and are they today? Because when they go back this morning, then they say, now you can well see that you are an hypocrite, that you are a reprobate, forsaken of the Lord. Otherwise, then the Lord has well given you that freedom and that privilege to come. And I hope that before that it is night, people, that strife is broken in your soul, and that Christ manifests himself as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you are obliged with the Lord and give your heart unto him to walk in his ways, because if it is not, out of despising of the sacraments, but on account of strife, then the Lord will come back to his own work, and he shall confirm it to the day performed, to the day of Jesus Christ. And my uncomforted fellow travelers, oh, what shall it be to be separate from the Lord forever and forever? There comes never an end to it. And what shall that be? That you were sitting under the means of grace, and that you have heard that everlasting gospel, but that it never have any profit for your heart and soul. Oh, I hope that this communion in this morning for many people was to an eternal blessing, that the Lord sanctify it to your hearts before that it is too late. Consider that it is now the time of grace, and that the Lord is standing, stretching out his hands towards us, and that he calls us through his word, that he had no pleasure in the death of the wicked or in the destruction, but well in the life and in the conversion. Oh, young and old, great and small, harden not your heart, but that it may please the Lord to give that grace to bow under it, and to seek the Lord while he is to be found, to call upon him while he is near, and to receive such a manifestation as that was given to the two men of Emmaus. Then there shall be freedom. Then there shall be liberty. Then we have no more to walk through this world silent. But then, as they have done, then they can tell the people what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread, and the work of the Lord, people. The Lord shall establish it, the work of his hand, forever and forever. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Remember us with the whole congregation and consistory, with our school and teachers, with all the labors that is resting upon us and waiting for us in this coming week. Bless the families with their children. Give the parents wisdom and understanding to bring up our children, and that the children obey their parents and walk in the ways of the Lord. Remember all of us in all our conditions also, the congregation who shall receive this coming week, that tiding that we cannot come over to them at the present time. Lord, give them a shepherd after thine own heart. And if it can be, Lord, give also us thy divine approval, because thou knowest the strife many times in our own heart, whether that we do right or that we do wrong. But Lord, remember also us and bless us with the whole congregation. Prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace, and forgive all our sin, and bring us safely home, each and every one on our way. Protect us for accidents, and made everything well for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 281. And if it is necessary, then we start with 280. But first 281, mindful of our human frailty. The collection is for our school, both the evening service and afterward consistently meeting, the Lord willing. Mindful of our human frailty and what follows. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up thy countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.